Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning, commonly, is the lesson for the day, John chapter 5. I'm sure that every pastor certainly has a list of duties and responsibilities that he would just as soon not have. And if yours is not the experience yet, I'm sure you will have it, where you will find a pastor and be assigned to him to field work or vicarage or any assistant, in which he will pass off certain duties that he himself would rather not do. Among these, I might list, as a few of my own, delinquent calls in rain or snow, or for that matter, any type of delinquent call. Overnight camping trips with the youth in the wilds of Missouri. I am not a camper. Why not have included a Holiday Inn somewhere? 6 a.m. prayer breakfast, at which I'm not enough awake to lead the silent prayer, let alone to lead the topic. And if that isn't enough, there are generally a few women among women's jail that are warring with one another. An elder might just tell you that he has just joined a nation. And then the president of the congregation can come into you and tell you he has received the Holy Ghost while watching some TV program. No wonder the pastor wishes from time to time that he could take the next few plunge because of all of these things that come into his life, and how easily it seems to ignore them or to pass them off to someone else. However, one of the most challenging aspects of the parish ministry is that of the ministry to the aging, the handicapped, and the dying. Sometimes it is not the most pleasurable or the easiest work. And even if chaplains are available, generally people who belong to your parish who want to be served by their own pastor. These are the forgotten people of all ages that were mentioned in this morning's lesson. Our own set of beautiful, beautiful people and their disco crowd can certainly remind us, though, of one of the intricacies of the classical and Hellenistic period in which our lesson was written. And that was that the people who were handicapped, who were dying, who were aging, were to be left alone and ignored by society for the most part. For the concept that pervaded all of their thinking, at least in the Greek world, was that of tos kolon, the idea. It was a preeminence in their culture. There were three sentences that were combined in this talk along. First, you had to be organically sound. Athletic ability certainly helped. You were to be beautiful in appearance and successful. These were all the ingredients necessary for an individual to have it all together. And on this basis, talk along acquired central importance in the Greek world. By course, it's the very basic nature of man. Now, there are some authors, Plato, Isocrates, Demosthenes, where an ethical and servant relationship is applied to Tophilon, but not very seriously. The concept itself rested in physical attractiveness, intelligence, and athletic ability, and times haven't changed much in the past 2,500 years. This morning's lesson, however, I find an honest plea for realism. Jesus finds himself at a feast of the Jews, and while he is there, he goes to this pool, which has five porticoes. We had to understand that in classical Hebrew times, these were places that the rich and the powerful of Jerusalem came to bathe themselves and bath in luxury. However, now that the Romans no longer needed them, for they had their own baths, and there were very few powerful or rich among the Jewish people, they had been taken over by the forgotten and forsaken of the Jewish people. The handicapped, the lame, the dying, the paralyzed. Notice there are many here who had lost their powers, and they were gathered at this place, and not all were similarly afflicted. Some had lost their sight. One was especially pitiful. He had been powerless for 38 years. Here is the realism that is portrayed in the scriptures. Not a triumphant spirit, not one in which man attempts to strive for tephalon, the ideal, the perfect. So we see that that is impossible. I realize that some, if not most scholars, find no historical truth in this account. Certainly, they say it can be dismissed as any miracle story. But I find so much realism here. This is a microcosm, a picture of the human race. But we too are subject to all manner of diseases, illnesses, and loss of limb. So much so that Joseph Parker has commented that health is a mystery rather than disease. And I suppose that so many, including ourselves, might be inclined to avoid places like this. It will be the rare person who will deliver flowers to the hospital after church on Sunday, or who will visit with the pastor or in place of the pastor at a nursing home, or serve the handicapped. Here at the pier, and on the portrait, is a call to realism. Talk cologne, and the critique of it, is far from reality. And it is so in the church, my friend. It is impossible for all of us to have the prosperity and the success that we would like to have, even in the church. And where are those who proclaim to be God's ministers, who say that by laying on of hands or by receiving some kind of supernatural knowledge or power that we can have such success and full and complete health, are not themselves looking in the scriptures to see what its message is. For there is much suffering in this human race. There was in the early church. The term witness might have had a double meaning, to be a faithful witness to their Lord and Savior. For that term witness made its way among bolder soldiers and noisy chariots and investigators at midnight, gabbles of cynical judges, whispered information for a little bit of money, dungeons and orphans crying because their parents had been taken away, petitions passed along narrow streets, stern edicts publicly posted, and the sign of the church scratched in an almost scared way in the dirt. This was the posture of the early church, and suffer it did. And it took its example from its Lord. For in this pier and the portico, nothing has changed over all of the centuries except one thing. There we find Jesus. Not even the disciples I mentioned here. Maybe they had decided that an extra hour of sleep would be best for them. But during his busy teaching schedule in Jerusalem, he found time to go to this portico. And there to see the sick and the dying and the paralyzed and the handicapped. But it was so like him. And do not we see the foolishness of the Greek idea and concept of the idea, talk along? So you see, he himself, our Lord and Savior, was in reality perfection itself. No one could ever add anything to him that he might need. No one could ever be his counselor. No one could ever first lend to him and then receive in return. He was perfection itself. And yet, in eternity, it was decided that he would take upon himself the form of a servant. And here is the concept of kakalon, striving for perfection in the church. Not a mad dash to the top, but rather seeking to be the servant of one another, as he was servant. So St. Paul reminds us that not only did he take upon himself the form of a servant, but he actually made himself nothing. He who had borne the seed was born in a stable. He who had fashioned motherhood had to depend upon Mother Mary for nourishment and sustenance. And he did this all for you and for me, so that his servanthood might lead him to the time that he would bear our sins on the tree of the cross. He would be the servant servant. And so the kakalon, the ideal, is fashioned for the church through the example of servanthood of its Lord. And so the church is to continue to follow his example. Oh, I'm sure that we as members of the church find ourselves windswept and storm-tossed on the waves of the history in which evil and satanic powers are apparently the powers that prevail. But we must remember that there is only one voice that can speak reassuring and empowering comfort to us, and that is the voice of our Lord. Sin no more. Rise and be on our way. Confronting the evil, confronting the legalism, the triumphalists, those who change the gospel of Christ into something that is not. And it is true that our Lord himself sits enthroned over the future of all men, and in his hand is the book wherein the destinies of man are written. He knows those who are his, and the prospect of all eternal future need hold no endless prayers for him. For the perfection we seek has already been accomplished in the sacrificial death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are part of that picture. In Jesus' name, amen.